because Brote had explicitly told him so. We do know, however, that Brote disregarded his friend's request and devoted great energy to making sure that all of Kafka's works, his three unfinished novels, his unpublished stories, diaries, and letters, would appear in print. Kafka began The Castle in January 1922, in a mountain village where he had sought refuge after a severe breakdown. On the evening of his arrival, he notes in his diary, "The strange, mysterious, perhaps dangerous, perhaps redeeming consolation of writing." He had long been unproductive, and it was many years since he had attempted a substantial piece of work. He continued work on the novel in Prague, where he read parts of it to Max Brote, and then at his sister Otla's house in the country. But in September he writes to Brote, "I have not spent this past week very cheerfully, for I have had to give up the castle story, evidently for good." Like all the novels he had previously embarked on, this last and most ambitious one remained a fragment. And now, The Castle.
Chapter 1. Arrival. It was late evening when Kay arrived. The village lay under deep snow. There was no sign of the castle hill. Fog and darkness surrounded it. Not even the faintest gleam of light suggested the large castle. Kay stood a long time on the wooden bridge that leads from the main road to the village, gazing upward into the seeming emptiness. Then he went looking for a night's lodging. At the inn they were still awake. The landlord had no room available, but extremely surprised and confused by the latecomer, he was willing to let Kay sleep on a straw mattress in the taproom. Kay agreed to this. A few peasants were still sitting over beer, but he did not want to talk to anyone, got himself a straw mattress from the attic, and lay down by the stove. It was warm, the peasants were quiet. He examined them for a moment with tired eyes, then fell asleep. Yet before long he was awakened. A young man in city clothes, with an actor's face, narrow eyes, thick eyebrows, stood beside him with the landlord. The peasants, too, were still there. A few had turned their chairs around to see and hear better. The young man apologized very politely for having awakened Kay, introduced himself as the son of the castle steward, and said, "This village is castle property. Anybody residing or spending the night here is effectively residing or spending the night at the castle. Nobody may do so without permission from the count, but you have no such permission, or at least you haven't shown it yet." Kay, who had half risen and smoothed his hair, looked at the people from below and said, "What village have I wandered into? So there is a castle here?" "Why, of course," the young man said slowly, while several peasants here and there shook their heads at Kay. "The castle of Count Westwest." "And one needs permission to spend the night here?" asked Kay, as though he wanted to persuade himself that he hadn't perhaps heard the previous statements in a dream. "Permission is needed," was the reply, and this turned into crude mockery at Kay's expense when the young man, stretching out his arm, asked the landlord and the guests, "Or perhaps permission is not needed?" "Then I must go and get myself permission," said Kay, yawning and pushing off the blanket as though he intended to get up. "Yes, but from whom?" asked the young man. "From the count," said Kay. "There doesn't seem to be any alternative." "Get permission from the count now, at midnight?" cried the young man, stepping back a pace. "Is that not possible?" Kay asked calmly. "Then why did you wake me up?" The young man now lost his composure. "The manners of a tramp," he cried. "I demand respect for the count's authorities. I awakened you to inform you that you must leave the count's domain at once." "Enough of this comedy," said Kay, in a remarkably soft voice as he lay down and pulled up the blanket. "You are going a little too far, young man, and I shall deal with your conduct.